Well, good morning. Everybody's talking about Hillary. Let's talk about Jesus Christ. One has done a lot of bad things, and one has done no bad things. And the one that has done no bad things loves us and what he did for us. Father, here we are this morning to, again, open your word and look at another prayer in the Bible. And, Lord, we also want to come to the table this morning just remembering what you've done for us. Lord, help us to be different from the world. Lord, to really be as you have called us out, really be yours. And if we've died to sin, how can we longer live in it, really? And is there really a difference in us, Lord? Are our lives really given over to you? Do we just talk about all of the ungodly people, or do we do more than that? Do we pray for them? Do we pray for the fear of God to be in the eyes of these proposed leaders for this nation? And Lord, there may be some in the background of your people, but the front runners certainly don't profess you. And Lord, without you, we have no hope here on earth, but we have all hope in heaven. So Lord, we want to remember this morning what you've done for us. And so lead us now in these moments in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to be in Luke 22 again. We were there last week, I believe, with the denial of Peter, but today we're going to be in this very special conflict, in a sense, between good and evil, between the Lord and his great prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he will, before it's over, sweat great drops of blood and, being in earnest agony, be strengthened by angels or an angel. And we see that they're the proof that there's no other way other than for him to drink the cup. There is no other way. There was no other way, but he is the way. And so he obediently went to the cross and he died for us. But he didn't stay in the tomb, did he? He rose again the third day. And he didn't even stay here on earth more than about 40 days. And now, where is he? So as we remember him this morning, as we go to the table, yes, we want to remember his suffering and dying. We want to remember his obedience. We want to remember how much he loved us and the demonstration of his love for us on the cross. But as we think through the entire picture, I think we also want to remember him as he is now. Where is he? The work of redemption is done, so he's seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. An awesome thing to know that the work is all done. Nothing more could possibly be done. And then I want to just read some scripture here about what we're looking forward to in his second coming. He's already ready to go. It's at his time, isn't it? So as we get ready to go to the table, we just want to remember what he's done for us. And first, as just a few verses from Isaiah 53, as the suffering servant, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death. Because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. So as we come to the table this morning, we want to remember him as our Savior who died for us. But we also, I think, want to remember his glorious victory over death. The cross is empty, the tomb is empty. And because he was victorious, we too have that promise of eternal life, that living hope. We see in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 11, and every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. But this man, capital M, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. So we want to remember with great thanksgiving that portion of our Savior, or that aspect of him as well. And then as he would reveal to the angel who in turn revealed to John in the book of Revelation, we read in chapter 1, verse 12, then I turned to see the voice that spoke to me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of brass. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his hand on me, right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen? It says amen. Amen. Let us say amen. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death. Write the things which you have seen and the things which are and the things which will take place after this. So as we come this morning to the table, may we remember all of these things and more as is fitting for each one of us as we are reminded of what he has done for us. I've got a few songs written on the back of the notes. I think I'll play the first one, Do This in Remembrance of Me. You can sing along with it, or you can just listen, and I'll distribute the elements. Do This in Remembrance of Me. In the Luke account, in this same chapter of 22, we read, "When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Just amazing to me, the emotions and so forth that must have been going through our Savior's mind. He knew what was coming, and yet I think he was looking forward to cherishing that fellowship with his disciples, in a sense, one last time. And we will see now, it looks like the Passover itself is going to be fulfilled by him, by his sacrifice, the very next day as he goes to the cross. But here he says, "For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." So we see here that really we're looking forward. This hasn't even happened yet, because he hasn't come the second time yet, right? But it's coming. That's happening. So as we remember him, I think we want to remember him in his first coming, and we also want to remember as best we can what we have read and what we have been told in his word about his second coming. An awesome, awesome thing. "And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So let us peel that back, if you haven't already, and take out the little cracker. And as you take this out, we want to remember what he has done for us. And as he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So as we eat, we know we want to become one with him, he with us. And as we consume him physically, we can even envision what happens in our bodies a little bit as the food comes in and it gets digested and goes on out into every cell of the body. In a sense, only throughout our entire body can we get anything to be completely a part of us. And so we want him not just to circulate in our system, but we want him to dwell in our hearts, don't we? We want him at home in our hearts. So, Lord, as we eat this bread, it's symbolic of your body, which was given to us. And you have said, "Do this in remembrance of me." So let us remember thankfully, prayerfully, what he has done for us. And let's take the bread together and eat it. And then if you'd peel the back, this foil back, and expose the grape juice here. "Likewise, Jesus also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." So that was the message. That was the introduction of the new covenant. It's the forgiveness of sin, his blood, one time shed for us, which makes perfect all those who are covered by it forever. So let us drink this in remembrance of what he has done for us. And Father, we thank you. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit, knowing that you are God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all involved in every single aspect of everything. The price that you paid, Lord, you who had no body at all, it would appear, as you were spirit, but you took on the form of man and came here to earth as a man to undo what Adam had done and to show us your love, to show us suffering, Lord, to be our shepherd, Lord, to be our good shepherd, to be our high priest, Lord, eternally. And Lord, we know, although you're seated at the right hand of God, I believe with regard to redemption, Your word tells us that you ever live to make intercession for us. Your word tells us that you hold all things together. And so we don't understand, Lord, that much, but we understand one thing, that you love us and you died for us and you have forgiven us our sins. And that your blood can cleanse us, cleanses us, past, present, and will cleanse us forever, future, from all sin. And so, Lord, thank you for that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And now lead us as we look at your prayer briefly, and then as we will go to prayer in just a few minutes. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the prayer today, of course, a very familiar prayer. We've already had this in Matthew. We've had it in Mark. Matthew and Mark, a lot of emphasis was given, in a sense, on the three times that Jesus asked the disciples to pray, and three times they were asleep. In the Luke account, he doesn't mention it except once, but he does mention three things which aren't in the other accounts, and that is in relationship to being visited by the angel in verse 43, chapter 22. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. So those three things there are not in the other Gospels, and we see a greater intensity of suffering maybe. We see him being aided by an angel, strengthened by an angel, and we see him sweating drops of blood falling down to the ground. And what I see here is there's no other way, as he would pray to the Lord in total obedience to the Lord, total willingness to the Lord, but yet, Lord, if there's any other way, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. And again, he would then say, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. How grateful we are on what he has done. We also see here that he went alone to pray, and I think there's a big important thing for you and I there, and they're really big things between the Lord and us. I think it comes down to just the two of us, or you might say the four of us, myself, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But it's that prayer alone, which we see here, as close as he was to his disciples, as close as he was particularly to Peter, James, and John. Yes, he brought them a little bit further, but then he left them and went alone to pray. The Gospels all say something a little bit different. Some say he fell on his face. Some say he bowed down. But whatever his position was, we know in verse 45 here it says he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples. He found them. And then a very kind comment there. He found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And I think those words are really as important for you and I today as they were for the disciples that night. Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And I would challenge myself during this period of heightened political activity and all, that I not get too caught up in that, but rather just pray for the leaders, pray for those in power around the world. Another bombing today in Afghanistan, 30 plus people killed there. So, you know, we have a bombing every day, and regardless who's in the White House, it's not going to stop what goes on in Afghanistan and Munich, Germany, and every place else. We may have a little bit more emphasis on not shooting policemen and so forth and telling everybody how well things are going, but nevertheless, unless we turn to the Lord, we have no chance in changing this downward move, which is in the scripture, right? Turkey coming into prophecy, right? Pray for the Turkish people. There's some really bad things going on right now. Thousands have been murdered because of resisting him, mostly young people and many of the military. And of course, he's been given, has no opposition now. He can do whatever he wants. And so Turkey will move, as predicted, as an arch enemy of Israel, not as it went over the years. They've more or less been an ally of Israel. but no longer I don't believe. And so these things are all coming together, so we shouldn't despair, but we should rather awake from our sleep, right? We don't have much more time. And even if this lasts 100 years longer and we're all taking our last breath, it still doesn't really matter, does it? Really. Where are you going? With the Lord, you're going to be with Him forever. Without the Lord, you're lost forever. And that's the situation for every single person on the face of the earth, right? So these events are of interest to see how they come along and all, but it doesn't really change the basic thing that we need Jesus, right? And without Him, we have nothing. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for coming to the table today. And yes, as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim or we herald or we make known Your death until You come. And oh, Lord, You had to die for us to have life. So rather than despairing over Your death, we rejoice over the sacrifice that was made. And we thank You for giving us eternal life. And Lord, we want to be dead in these bodies. Born again, we have to, if you're going to be born again, you have to die to the old one to be born again. And so, Lord, we all say we're born again. We all quote 2 Corinthians 5:10, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Are they really new in me? Are they really new in my heart? Am I really rising and praying, or am I still sleeping, Lord? And so help us. And now we have time this morning for going to prayer in this group. And Lord, lead us now by Your Spirit. And Lord, I pray that we would really be praying as led by You, then we would all be in one accord. Lead us now. In Jesus' name, amen.